Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Yo, what up? Welcome to Tevez the Best. Today is Tuesday, holy. June 6, 2023. My name is JC Tevez. Welcome to the podcast about my life and nothing else. But stick around, you might learn something new. Damn, you guys hear that thunder? It's been raining lately, huh? Wow, I'm looking out my window right now. It looks like Dementor weather out there. Jeez. Anyway, how's everyone doing, huh? Happy new week. Happy rainy week, I guess. It was a rainy weekend for most of Saturday and Sunday, I believe. And now it's raining on a Tuesday. How was everyone doing? Did you have a good time? Did you scam some scammers this week, like I told you to? Not financial advice. So I just got another text, by the way. So if you haven't, if you're just listening to me for the first time, listen to my last episode and make some money off of some filthy scammers. Not financial advice. I feel like I always have to say that to protect myself. But I just got another text on WhatsApp. And I just got 100 pesos for my entry-level task. And now they're going to put me into the group, and I'm going to just milk them, milk those little scammer titties for all they're worth. But what else did I do this week? So let's talk about the highlight of my week in terms of stuff that I did, other than the hosting, which I talked about on my Saturday podcast, because I did record on Saturday. I watched Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse last week. Oh, yeah. It's just been out a week. So as I normally do here on the podcast, if it's only been out a week, I know a bunch of you have been busy. Maybe, you're still scamming the scammers to, you know, to earn up your movie ticket. I won't spoil it for you at all. I will say though, and I don't know if it's really a spoiler per se, maybe close your ears or just skip to the next topic just in case it is, but I don't think so. I did not know that this was a part one of a part two. You know, I mean, this is the second movie in the Spider-Verse, whatever. But if you ever watch Fast Furious 10, like the latest Fast Furious, I also was left at the end of the movie. I was like, what? Basically, they leave you on a cliffhanger. But the movie itself, man, wow. Wow, that was fantastic. You know, I, as much as I never hype up the first Into the Spider-Verse, the first one, I rewatched it before watching the latest one. And I have a deeper appreciation for it now. I don't know why. Maybe when I watched it the first time, which is what, 2019 or 2018 when it came out, maybe I didn't appreciate it as much because it came out during the era of MCU films when everything was live action. So I guess it felt a little awkward that they're releasing a Marvel movie that's not, you know, doesn't have Robert Downey and Chris Evans and shit in it. But upon rewatching it, I was like, damn, this is actually really, really good. And I now understand why people have it in their like top five or number one even for Marvel movies. I guess maybe because I didn't really think it was part of the MCU universe or whatever. So maybe that's why I didn't really, maybe I kind of separated it as a standalone film. But upon rewatch, as I've been mentioning, wow, great fucking film. And the second one is just as good. You know, I was going through the Reddit discussions per use after watching, and you know, people are on the fence about which one was better. Some say it's just on par as the first one. Some say it's even better. Some say they like the first one better. But general consensus is that movie is a banger, and I have to completely agree. I mean, it lacks, I guess, maybe an iconic song like the Sunflower song from the first one. But the voice acting is insanely good. The animation is the fucking so, so good. And as a fan, you know what? I don't know why I underappreciated the first one. Because I'm a big fan of cartoon, like cartoon animated, comic book shit. Like I watch almost all the DC animated movies. I've watched almost all of them. I grew up watching like the X-Men 90s show. I even like the X-Men Evolution. So, I mean, I watch some of the Marvel animated, but they're not as good, but I still appreciate them. But this is just, the art level is so insane, and, you know, I would definitely not mind if they just moved forward. I know they're not going to do it, right? But hypothetically, if the MCU were to all just become, you know, animated like the way Spider-Man is, oh, man, I would be so down for that. Because, you know, I think that they can A, they can tell more comic book like stories and, you know, stuff that's hard to translate into live action. I don't know what the budget is, if it's cheaper to do it the way that Spider-Verse does it versus having a live action, you know, effects with real people around it with green screen. I'm not sure if it's more challenging or more expensive or whatnot, but if they move down that path, I would be all for it. How can I talk about it without spoiling it? I mean, there are a lot of cool references to other films. I don't know if that's a spoiler. If you're a fan of the Spider-Man character, like Spider-Man, not just Miles Morales, but Spider-Man as a character, it delves a lot into that. I guess what I can say is the two main characters are Spider-Gwen and Miles Morales. Like those, I mean, I don't think that's really a spoiler because even in the first film, besides Jake, what's his name? Fuck. New Girl Jake, that New Girl Spider-Man, the main Peter Parker in the first movie, he's not as big in this film as the other two, but it still plays a prominent part. Yeah, I mean, what else can I say? Just go watch it. I of course, watch the first one if you haven't. But, you know, I was also looking through Reddit, and they said that people are saying, like, some people watched it without watching the first one, and they totally still enjoyed the movie. But, of course, just watch the first one so you get all the references to the first film and understand the relationships between the main characters in this one. Oh, man, well, I guess that's it. I guess I'll just stop talking about Spider-Verse right now. And let's move on to the next few movies that I would recommend. So I was able to watch a few in the last few days. I just got off watching Guy Ritchie's The Covenant, which was actually recommended to me by someone that listens to this podcast. So shout out to the dude, wait, let me just get his name, make sure it's right. Shout out to the dude, Jotham. Jotham sent me a screenshot of the Covenant poster and said it was really fucking good. He sent it on May 12th, so it's been like 3 weeks already. So I apologize for taking so long to finally pick it up and watch it. But wow, that movie's surprisingly good, man. It's, if I could describe it in any way, it's Lone Survivor, you know, the Mark Wahlberg Lone Survivor mixed with Call of Duty. Right? If you're a fan of the Call of Duty games, Warzone in particular, there are going to be some set pieces where you're like, whoa, that looks like that spot in Verdansk, for real. There's even a really cool, like, airplane scene. You'll know what I'm talking about if you watch it. But the story is, so Jake Gyllenhaal, he plays, like, a sergeant during the Iraq War. And he's assigned a new translator who is played by this guy. His name is Dar Salim. I've never seen him on film before. Darsalim. I hope I'm saying that right. Let me look it up. Yeah, Dar Salim. Dude, he was as great of an actor as Jake Gyllenhaal is, because I think he's so fantastic, especially in Nightcrawler, which I always recommend to people. Dar Salim was the highlight of that film. Wow. It is such a great movie. In terms of action, it's action-packed, so you won't be bored. I will say, though, upon watching the action, it's not as realistic as I'd say maybe like Lone Survivor had more realistic gun mechanics and tactics and shit. But if you don't really delve too much into it, you know, if you don't really care, like, why is this guy not reloading? There's one scene where one of the characters has a fucking AK-47. He never reloads it once. It's weird. But if you can suspend your reality from the, you know, the real life firefight mechanics of it all, the acting is great. The story is really nice. Predictable, I will say. But like I've said before on this podcast, even if a movie is predictable, if you can just make it, you know, if you can stick the landing, it's still worth watching. And yeah, Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. Do not confuse it with the fucking The Covenant, which came out in 2006 or 7. You guys remember that movie with the guy from Sky High, the hot guy from Sky High? He was in it. I forgot his name. War and Peace from Sky High. He was in that movie too. Oh my god, I remember specifically, like, fucking cringing and raging after the movie. I watched it in the theaters. So I was in high school, I went with my cousins, and we watched that movie, and it was so garbage. As I say, hot basura. That movie is so awful, so don't confuse it with The Covenant from 2007 or whatever. It's a teeny bopper, like, supernatural. I don't think they were vampires, but they had powers, right? But watch Guy Ritchie's The Covenant. I think you will enjoy it. I mean, I know that there will be some people that might be underwhelmed by it. I understand it. But for me, you know, I really enjoyed it. So go watch that. Another movie that I watched that I was expecting to be awful, which turned out to be surprisingly great, was Renfield. Renfield starring Nicholas Holt and Nicolas Cage. So both the Nicholases. Nicholas Holt, I mean, Nick Cage, you guys, I'm pretty sure you're familiar with him, right? Con Air, Leaving Las Vegas, or is it Leaving Las Vegas? Whatever. Fear and Loathing. So Nick Cage and then Nicholas Holt. So Nicholas Holt, I'm sure if you've watched his movies, you know who he is. But if you're a casual viewer and you don't really recognize names that well, Nicholas Holt is the main zombie guy in Warm Bodies. He plays Beast in X-Men First Class and like the prequel X-Men movies. He's also my first film, by the way, watching Nicholas Holt, where I was really impressed by him was when he was a kid. He grew up as a kid actor. It's a movie with Hugh Grant. It's called About a Boy, one of my favorite Hugh Grant movies. And it's based off of a book. Let me look up the author because I actually read that book, About a Boy. Author, Nick Hornby. Because I've read a few of Nick Hornby's books. I find his writing, when, you know, I don't really read a lot of fiction books, but Nick Hornby, I've read maybe four or five of his books. I think he also wrote High Fidelity, A Long Way Down. There's one where it's about a skateboarder guy, but he writes a lot of coming of age movies or coming of age books rather. And a lot of his books are, translated into films. So About a Boy with Hugh Grant and Nicholas Holt. So yeah, back to Renfield. Renfield, is about, Dracula. So Nick Cage plays Dracula and he has his familiar, or I think that's what it's called, the familiar or his servant played by Nicholas Holt. And it's a comedy action, not even horror. I wouldn't even put it in the horror realm, but it's a comedy horror action gory film. The gore is, extreme, I would say, but it is not realistic gore. It's over the top gore. It's very Quentin Tarantino gore. So when it does happen, you'll be grossed out, but you won't be like grossed out. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it's not like Saw or Hostel, where you literally twinge in your seat when you watch it, like you want to throw up. This one, it's more like, that's so fucking ridiculous, gross, but it's kind of funny, right? Because you would never laugh at Saw. I remember, especially in Saw 2, that one scene where I think they're like in a, I forgot what it was, glass or something. They were in a pit full of glass. Oh my God, that shit's hard to watch, man. But this one, It's a bunch of gore, but it's humorous. Like it's got a humorous tone to it. And Nicholas Holt, I think, is great as always. I think he's a fantastic actor. The most recent movie I've seen him in is The Menu, where he was also really good. It's good. I mean, I don't want to spoil it again. It did come out, I think, a month ago in theaters, but it's just now released on streaming. I won't tell you where I watched it, Special Agent John. But if you have a chance to find it somewhere online, I don't know where it's streaming right now, if it is streaming in the Philippines at least. But I think you will enjoy it. It's got great humor. Awkwafina is in it. So there we go. That's going to be the make or break for a lot of people. If you hate Awkwafina, don't watch it, man. Awkwafina, I thought, was actually pretty okay in it. But then when I went to the Reddit discussion, there is a bunch of Awkwafina hate in there. I thought she did a serviceable job. I thought she had some funny lines. But the star of the show was Nicholas Holt for sure. Nick Cage is campy and fun, but he's not in it as much as I would expect from a movie about, you know, Dracula's assistant. He's not in it as much. The prosthetics, though, I would say, like the makeup is really good in the film, surprisingly. Like, they budgeted for it. It's really good. It's not a very deep movie at all. It's a very fun movie. It's one of those movies that if you watch it, you'll end up saying, wow, that was not a waste of time. And you will laugh. I would hope you would laugh because I laughed a couple times audibly. It wasn't one of those, you know, the sniff out the nose laugh. It was literally a laugh out loud. Yeah, goodness. There's some good humor in the film. So watch Renfield, watch The Covenant. And of course, out of all the movies I talked about right now, go watch Across the Spider-Verse. It is the one that you have to really pick up and see. Other than that, I completely forgot that I talked about SM Cyberzone because I don't normally record on Saturdays and it happened on Friday. So I was about to talk about that, like, for a while, but I guess I have to think of something else now. Oh yeah, there's one more movie I forgot because I wiped it from my memory because it was so awful. I don't even know if it's worth talking about, but if you ever get offered the opportunity to watch The Black Demon, which is a giant shark megalodon movie, and you guys know me, I love giant shark movies. I love the Meg. I also love giant robot movies. I love dinosaur movies. I like anything with giant creatures that fuck people up. But The Black Demon is one to skip. It is an awful, like, it's a low budget movie. And you know what? Low budget movies aren't bad. Like, I really enjoyed Sharknado. But this one, they should have just gone down the route of being super obvious that they're not a serious movie. Because they tried to be too serious. There's elements of, like, environmentalism in the film. It's so fucking weird. I will say some of the, I mean, the acting of the kids acting, there's a little boy, and I'm usually annoyed by child actors in movies. He was actually pretty bearable. There's the angsty teenage daughter, which I found super annoying, and tropey. So, you know, fuck her. The main guy is actually played by Josh Lucas. Like, I was surprised I actually recognized one actor in the film. So Josh Lucas, you might have seen him in Glory Road, I think. Hold on, let me look him up. Josh Lucas. He's been in a bunch of movies. You've probably seen him. Yeah, Glory Road. I remember watching him in Glory Road. He has a role in Ford versus Ferrari. I guess he just ran out of roles, right? But I guess the biggest role that you might know him from, if you haven't watched Glory Road, is he's the main love interest in Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon, which I actually find an underrated rom-com. I mean, when people talk about rom-coms, they usually list off one of the Hugh Grant ones, or maybe like Crazy Stupid Love, or I'm trying to think of another, like maybe an Adam Sandler one, but no one really says Sweet Home Alabama. And that is a great rom-com, I would say. It is a really, I don't know, something about it. I guess because it's a Home Alabama makes you, it's a cozy movie. It's one of those movies you can put on during like Christmas time or something. I think it's set during winter, actually. If I'm not mistaken. But it's one of those feel-good rom-coms that will leave you feeling like, yeah, that was nice. So if you haven't watched Sweet Home Alabama, Josh Lucas is in that. But anyway, back to The Black Demon. Josh Lucas plays the dad. I don't know who plays the wife. There's this like Mexican guy who's in it who's actually pretty good. He's like one of the main guys. So the story is Josh Lucas plays an oil executive guy or whatever. He works for an oil company. And him and his family are going on a workcation to a place where one of the oil rigs for his company is located. So the story goes that when Josh Lucas met his wife in that area before he got married, and it was a nice place. And then they come back 15 years later, you know, for this job. And when they get there, the place is completely changed. And supposedly it's because of a demon curse, and then this demon curse has provoked this giant shark to fuck everything up. I don't really understand. I mean, I get what they were going for, but it was just poorly executed, and it makes you wonder why anyone fucking stays there ever, right? If there's a giant fucking megalodon, you know, I don't know. There's no rivers here in Metro Manila, but if there was a river right next to me, and you know, it was every time someone goes there, they never come back. Right, I would probably never go there. Why? Like, why? It's so dumb. So the way they set up the premise of the story was so underwritten or whatever. It feels like it was written during the writer's strike, even though I'm pretty sure it was finished already by that time. So I would completely avoid that movie. Surprisingly, I've talked about The Black Demon longer than any of the movies that I recommended. So I'm going to stop now, but do not watch that movie. It's not even good as a shitty, like, it's so bad it's good kind of film. It's not a Sharknado level film. So completely avoid that. What else, man? I lost weight, you know? I always talk about I always share when I have little wins in life when it comes to my health and my weight that I've been working on for at least 32 years. And, you know, there's a time when, and I'll say this, I think anyone who's tried to lose weight after gaining, you know, a significant amount of weight, or maybe just someone who is trying to lose weight in general, maybe you haven't gained, but it's you're trying to lose weight. I'm sure you can all relate to this with me. But if you haven't ever tried to lose weight because you've always been sexy your whole life, let me tell you what it feels like when you step on a weighing scale, okay? There's a fear of dread every time I step on the weighing scale because that number really fucks with my mind. because a lot of my mood is linked with the number that I see on the scale. And I know that's not a way to go about it, but it's just a part of maybe, it's just a part of how I've kind of seen it in life. I remember, I don't think I've shared this on the podcast, but I was extremely obese as a kid, like dangerously obese. When I was 12, 13 years old, I was about 120 kilograms, which is, let's do the math just because I think people here, for some fucking reason, people here use meters, but then they use pounds on the scale. Stick to one unit of measurement, please. All right, stick with the metric or the imperial, pick one, okay? Because if you're going to use meters and kilometers, you better fucking use kilograms and grams. Stop using pounds. And how tall are you? Stop using feet and inches. Use centimeters, okay? That's just my rant for the day. I was 264 pounds when I was 13 years old. That's crazy, right? And imagine, I was, fine, I'll say it, I was like 5'5", right? 5'6". So what was that, 160 something meters tall, right? 160-170 meters tall, right? 1.6 something meters. So, you know, that small frame with that much body weight, I was like Jabba the Hutt. And I remember when I started losing weight because I remember I broke my foot. So I guess maybe when I broke my foot, I realized that I need to lose weight because I broke it just running and tweaking my ankle. I remember I got ambulanced to the hospital and my mom met me there at the hospital my mom met me at a school and then my teachers carried me. And I remember I was so embarrassed because it took two or three teachers to carry me, a 12-year-old, right? To carry me down the fucking stairs. And all my friends and my classmates were looking at me. I mean, they weren't teasing me or anything, at least as far as I remember, but you know, that shit kind of leaves an impact on you, right? You know, 12, you know, that shit what do you call that? That's some inner trauma that I just remembered right now. And so I started losing weight. And I remember, friends, when I finally got the scale to under 100, when I saw double digits instead of triple digits, which I had seen my whole life, I remember dancing in joy. I swear on my mother's life, I think I even cried. I was so happy. I was so elated. It was a moment that I thought would never come. And then after that, I was able to maintain, you know, a not so dangerously obese weight, but I've always been overweight for, I would say, 80% of my life. There's been 20% of my life where I was actually kind of in shape. And especially in 2016 when I was doing commercials and VTRs and stuff here. And, you know, my work was tied to my weight in a sense. But even now, I would say, you know, hosting and even doing on-cam stuff, it's a very superficial industry. So my weight still is tied to my job, which is fucking crazy to me. But I understand, but I also hate it. Yeah, I mean, I was able to get under that threshold and kind of stay there for a while. So that's why the number really means a lot to me. Because once I got past that 100, I remember feeling a momentum. I was like, this shit is actually possible. Like, this shit actually, like, I'm actually doing something right. And I cannot tell you, how many times I have eaten clean for a week, went to the gym every week, and I step on the scale, and the number is the same. Or God forbid, sometimes it's even higher. And of course, you know, you can go online to ask why, and they'll say, oh, it's because of water retention. Oh, it's because of muscle mass. But fuck, man. Shit is the worst. Like, you punish yourself in a sense. I mean, I'm not saying you're like an athlete warrior, but you're punishing yourself, putting yourself through something that you're not used to. And all you're hoping for is just a little, you know, a little bit of God's touch to change the scale, to just move a little bit downwards. And when you see that it doesn't, that shit is one of the most disheartening feelings in the world. In the fucking world. So to anyone that's ever not trying to lose weight, that's how it feels like. And that's why, and I'm sure some of you do this, I've talked to some friends who've tried to, you know, who are, you know, constantly on a fitness goal. What do you do before you weigh in? You do it first thing when you wake up so there's no fucking food in your stomach. You take a fat shit. You don't drink any water. You piss. You take off all your clothes and then you step on the scale and then you just pray to the heavens that the number is lower. That's how it works. At least that's the unhealthy way that it works for people who have had an unhealthy relationship with their weight. That's how it works. So I lost weight. That's the story. I lost weight and my mood is good. But I will say this, at least to, you know, to cover the other side of things, I was at that point maybe a month ago where I did eat clean and I did work out and my weight actually went up, or at least didn't move. And I was frustrated. But then I also, I guess, you know, there's something that I had to remind myself of is that's, I mean, yeah, it's only been a week, you know, trust the process, as they say. And I had a little bit of, you know, I had a few mess ups along the whatever. And usually it's the mess ups that will keep, that will derail you completely. But for the first time in, I would say maybe 5-6 years, since maybe 2016, when I was super disciplined and focused, I think I'm locked in. For the first time in a while. I've had, you know, stretches of maybe 3 weeks where I eat clean or go to the gym. It's been about a month and a half now, almost. And I've trusted the process. And I am, a lot of it has to do with my age, I would say. Because I remember how easy it was to lose weight when I was 23, 24, 25. You know, the years where I was kind of fit. I remember how easy it was. And I tried it. You know, I would always justify, nah, man, it's all about, you know, it all starts in the kitchen. And I ate clean for a while without going working out and doing any sort of, you know, muscular growth exercises. And I can't do it anymore. You literally have to go and pump your muscles so that your resting heart rate or whatever the fucking science is, because you're old, right? JC, you're fucking old. Your metabolism isn't what it used to be. And I didn't even, I had a slow as fuck metabolism back in the day. So imagine what it is now in my senior citizen geriatric state, right? So I have to work out, because I feel now, not only will it help my metabolism be at least a little bit, you know, it will work with me, you know, on the off day that I decide to have a fucking extra burrito, that it won't punish me for the rest of the week. But also because I do feel good after going. As much as I hate working out, I rarely leave the gym feeling like it was a waste of time, right? So that's some life advice for you. If you're aging and maybe you've been able to do it with just diet alone, I don't think it's possible after 30. I really don't. I mean, some people are naturally blessed. You know, I have a personal vendetta against people that don't work out and look like they could be in a Marvel film. It's like, fuck you, man. You're fucking so blessed, right? I would rather have that than be financially stable. No, I'm just kidding. But sometimes I think about it, man. I have a cousin. He eats so much, man. He eats more than me. He has a normal BMI. You know, how fucking unfair is that? But I mean, I guess it's cool that he loves food as much as I do. What I really am so upset about is some people who like, you know, they could eat a lot and they don't gain weight, but they don't like eating. Why? Count your blessings. It's a superpower. Ah, man, if I could eat anything I wanted and wouldn't gain weight, I would have the time of my life. Like every week I would go to a buffet and just enjoy, you know, not putting myself at, I guess maybe you still put yourself at like risk for heart disease and stuff, but you know, when I go to my APE, another thing we talked about in Halala Show about weighing yourself out for Air New Zealand, right? But, you know, you go to the APE and the most, you know, it's besides the needle, because I hate needles, besides the blood draw, the thing that I have the most anxiety about is them weighing me, right? And then I already know that they're going to give me the results, and it's going to say obese level 1 or whatever it is. I hate it. I hate it. I fucking hate. That's why I dread going to APE things. Like, because I don't want anyone besides me to know what my weight is. All right. And that's just how it is, man. You know? And I've been, you know, because of the years of my life of being overweight for most of it, I take shit in stride now most of the time, though, in terms of when people comment on my weight. I think people really should stop, but I understand why people do it. Some people do it in a sense that they're trying to be affectionate. I remember I posted a TikTok video, not maybe like a week or maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago. And there's someone who said like, parang lumalaking face or something. But then they put like a heart emoji or some shit like that. I mean, I don't know. Is that like a backhanded compliment? Right? I don't even know what to say to that. Thanks? Fuck you? Like, which one? I feel like I could go with either. I could go with either, but I just tend to just, you know, let it go. It's so weird to me that people would comment that. Like, I get it, right? If you have those thoughts, right? If you have those thoughts about people, it's cool. I get it. No worries. But to fucking put it out there, like, what is the end game here? That's what I'm saying. And if I don't get it. I get it. I don't get it that much. You know, I don't get it really. I probably, it's maybe 1% of all my social media interaction. But there are people out there who are, you know, maybe who fluctuate in weight. And I sometimes look at their comments and it's like all I can see. How fucking that low of a person do you have to be to kind of bring that up? Especially when they've talked about it being a sensitive talking point. It's so weird, right? Taylor Lautner. You know Taylor Lautner, right? Fucking Jacob Black. He actually had to, like, I remember I watched some sort of YouTube short or something where he was talking about how people were commenting on how he did not age well because he doesn't have the six-pack abs that he did when he was trying to fuck Bella, right? So, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. So that's the TED Talk for today, friend. 30 minutes in, I think that's a good podcast, right? Since I didn't really have much to talk about, I was like, shit, did I? I just realized it while recording. I was like, oh shit, I already talked about my hosting because I had a lot of fun doing it. Shout out. Oh, they by the way, they're getting me for another event. Ha! Bang! You know, ask, or what is it? Lead and they shall follow. That's it. Feel free to message me, by the way. So just like Jotham, message me a movie to watch. Even if it does take me a while, I usually try to get around to it. Oh, by the way, I want to shout out to everyone that messaged me and the Hala Hala Show podcast Instagram for, you know, replying to actually stuff that we talk about, right? There was someone who replied with his age and whatnot because Rika and I were joking, like, I wonder if anyone over the age of 50 listens to us. And someone actually did reply and say, hey, I listen to you. I'm over that age. And I really appreciate the I think two or three people, either they commented on the Facebook group or they messaged personally saying, I finally watched Ted Lasso after you've been begging us to watch it, and I love it. I'm telling you, I'm like 100%. I haven't missed. When someone has watched it after I recommended it to them, I've never met anyone who said, it wasn't that great. I was expecting more. No, I'm 100%, man. Watch that show. It's fucking so good, right? Go watch it. Go get your free 7-day Apple TV subscription. I think it's free. Like, I don't know if it's for Globe users or if you just sign up. You get 7 days free before they charge you, but just cancel it. It'll take you 2 days to watch it all. If you have the weekend, you're going to binge watch it because you won't be able to stop watching it. And that's, I think, the pleasure of watching it for the first time when the show is actually done already, right? So go watch Ted Lasso. What else? Who else commented? Oh, the scammers. Some of the people say, yeah, man, I kind of want to try that. Remember, not financial advice, but thank you for responding to that as well. Then that's what the podcast is all about, whether it's this one or Hala Hala Show. It's all about, you know, really connecting with people, connecting with people. So it means a lot when you guys respond to this podcast and Hala Hala because it makes us, and for this podcast, it makes me feel like I'm not just talking into the void. As much as this is mostly for myself, right? This is mostly, like I said, and I think in my introductory podcast, this is an audio diary to kind of listen back on when I'm 60 years old and my metabolism is dead completely, but I'm going to be a jacked 60-year-old because I still go to the gym and listen to this and say, yeah, I remember talking about that. Yeah, that's it, man. Enjoy the rest of your week and see you all. Say it with me later.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.